While you are busy enjoying your lunch, while you are busy having some time from 1300 hours, take time and listen to OTR News Bulletin.
On the radio news analysis, we go beyond the headlines. We don't just tell you what's happening. We ask why it's happening, how it affects ordinary Namibians, and what it means for the country's future. We examine the structures behind news, connect policy to people's lived realities, and bring in expert voices to make sense of where Namibia is heading.
You want to get into touch with global governance, global diplomacy, economic relations, trade, statistics, human and infrastructure development, and you want to see how policy planning and policy implementation is connected in Namibia. Make time and listen to OTR from 1300 hours to 1430 with Happy Juju.
Eagle FM, the eye.
A very good afternoon, Namibia, and a warm welcome to On The Radar News Analysis right here on Eagle FM. I am your host, Ndafa Happy Juju. And of course, today is Wednesday, the 14th of April, 2026. Now, as the week reaches its midpoint, the country continues to move with steady focus and growing intensity across Namibia from Windhoek to Walvis Bay, Oshakati to Kepmansop. The rhythm of the work week is firmly established with businesses, schools, and public institutions operating at full pace. Wednesday is where momentum meets reflection, a point in the week where progress is assessed, adjustments are made, and priorities become clearer. Plans set earlier in the week are now being tested in real time, and both opportunities and challenges are taking sharper shape. Now, in workplaces and communities alike, Namibians are actively navigating the balance between productivity and long-term goals. Now, today's program will continue to track the forces shaping Namibia's economic direction, what trends are now becoming clearer across the key sectors, and how are businesses adapting midway through the week to shifting market conditions, and what does this reveal about the broader economic outlook as April unfolds. Now, we'll also take a closer or a wider look at the national landscape, from policy direction and institutional performance to innovation and the growing role of young Namibians in shaping the future of work and enterprise. Now, as industries evolve, the key question remains, are our systems and strategies keeping pace with change? In addition, we focus on governance and accountability, including developments within key ministries, and explore what effective leadership means for service delivery. How do decisions made at the top translate into meaningful impact for communities across the country? And as always, we stay grounded in everyday realities that connect us all, where national priorities meet local experience and where individual voices continue to shape the broader conversation. Now, over the next 1 hour and 30 minutes, expect a sharp analysis, meaningful engagement, and insights that do matter. Whether you're at work, on the move, or picking up kids, or pushing through the mid of the week, this is your pace. That's right here is On The Radar News Analysis, not just reporting the news, but making sense of it all. Now let's get right into these discussions for today. The ministry in its capacity, no, before we get to that, let's get in more discussions of other news. Now, schools across Namibia prepare for the upcoming examination period in the next few weeks. Attention naturally tends to learners and teachers, the visible drivers of academic performance. However, one of the most influential yet often under-discussed contributors to a learner's success during this critical time is the parent. Exemptions are not only a test of knowledge, but also of discipline, emotional stability, and preparation, all of which are significantly shaped at home. Now, parents do play a crucial role in creating an environment that supports learning, especially during exam seasons. Now, this includes providing structure through study routines, ensuring a quiet and supportive space for revision, and encouraging healthy habits such as proper rest and balanced nutrition. Beyond the physical environment, emotional support is equally important, and learners also often experience pressure and anxiety during exams, and the pressure of a supportive and understanding parent can make a significant difference in maintaining confidence and focus. Now, despite this, the role of parents is not always given the attention it deserves in national conversations around education. Too often, academic performance is viewed solely through the lens of schools and teachers, overlooking the partnership required between home and classrooms. Now, effective education is a shared responsibility, and when parents are actively involved, learners are more likely to perform better and develop a positive attitude towards their studies. Now, it is within this context that organizations such as the National Organization of Parents in Education, also abbreviated as NAOPE, become especially important. And with that being said, we are now joined in studio by Mr. Paulus Mbandu Hawanga. A very good afternoon to you. And he is the founder and the interim president of NAOPE. A very good afternoon to you. It's a pleasure
good
to have
afternoon.
You.
It's really amazing. It's nice to be here.
You know? It's a pleasure to certainly have you.
Yes, with us.
In studio this time around.
You know, the last time I was here and it was just an hour, like just seconds.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, and once again, we are here, dear listeners. We are looking forward to really expand on this this very important topic. Really, we need to get everyone involved. Days are gone when we should always expect the result.
Exactly.
And then we say why the learner did not perform.
Mm.
And when they perform, and then all of us, we are saying, we have done it.
Exactly.
But when the result is not going our way, we begin to point what?
Fingers.
I think this is the right timing that the Eagle FM really actually reach out to the National Organization of Parents in Education just to come and also really share our insight. You know, starting off, when I was coming, I was telling myself that, you know, I had the parents meeting in Commerce here.
You did let me know.
Yes.
But
yes,
the listeners don't know, tell us.
Yes. But otherwise, if time permits, otherwise we were having a wonderful dialogue where we were looking at really our parental involvement in our children's education. Is it how effective it is?
Mm.
You won't believe on the scale of measuring what we're supposed to know, what we're supposed to do. Where do we find ourselves? With all the reason we are giving, how busy we are, how occupied, how the priority that we have set for ourselves.
Yeah.
And no wonder sometimes teachers are saying, as much as you people are saying, we teachers, we are not doing our best, what did you do? I think this is the right discussion for us to really to look into it.
Yeah.
How we can really make sure that we all contribute towards what we want to see in terms of the result of our children. Yes, and that's why we thank God for the gift of the vision for the for NAOPE, that parents are really standing together now. We are organizing ourselves. The Act of Education. You know, the 2001, it has now lapsed. We are now in the Act number 3 of 2020. And we also have an education, we have a Act number 3 of 2015 on child care and protection. You know, there are a number of very, very effective legal framework that is guiding us on how effective parenting, caring for our children, protecting the safety of our children, even our involvement in our children's education.
Yeah.
We haven't done, you know, sometimes when you say we are in the school boards, being in the school board is just like being in the house, but then you are not sweeping.
I hear you.
You are not washing your clothes.
Mm.
You know, you are not mopping the dusty floor. You're not looking after the livestock at your homestead. It's equally being in the school board and you are just there by name. I think this is why the National Organization of Parents in Education, we really want to see parental active involvement.
Wonderful. And we have a scheduled commercial break. Let's take that and we'll be back to continue. And you'll also come and explain to us, for those who are hearing for the first time, and for some, of course, it's not their first time, what actually is NAOPE?
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated...
Beat the fuel increase with You Save Specials. 2 kilograms of real good frozen mixed chicken portions, a giveaway at $99.99 million. 2 kilograms of tastic rice, just $36.99 million. 500 grams of Romy 37% fat spread, just $13.99 million. 750 grams of U brand mayonnaise, just $34.99 million. Mind-blowing savings up to the 19th of April, 2026. Where you ask? At You Save. I save, you save. We all save at You Save.
Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events. And Basically, any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. And of course, this is On the Radar News Analysis. We're continuing with our conversation. We're joined in studio by Mr. Paulus Bandu-Hawanga, like I earlier said. Now, Mr. Paulus Bandu-Hawanga, kindly tell the Namibian people, and especially the parents also, what exactly is NAOPE, the National Organization of Parents in Education? And I'm sure there are quite a number of parents who have not were not acquainted with this organization. And also, I'm not so sure if there are other organizations of this nature which address parents and their role in education. But get into the vision of what NAOPE is.
Yeah, NAOPE, as you rightly put it in our introduction, that it stands for the National Organization of Parents in Education, which is an acronym, an abbreviation of NAOPE. So, you know, whenever I interact on this passage of the vision, I always prefer to give a little bit of background, you know, because people, if you are not giving much of the background, mm-hmm. they tend to have hanging questions. But how mm-hmm. is this? Now they start having some, you know, the National Organization of Parents in Education is a vision that we can really acknowledge that something that came through prayers, because we have a faith-based organization known as the Namibia Marriage Council. And we happen to interact with couples, singles, those who are preparing for marriage, and even those who are married already. Mm-hmm. Mind you, I'm an alumni member of the African Leadership Institute, where we were trained to be presenters on marriage. And also, even on Philippi Trust, I studied the counseling, Christian counseling in relationship, family affairs, you know. And during counseling sessions, I came across a number of issues, you know, guided by the principle of counseling. I realized that we came to realize that most of the issues that are coming through affecting relationship are actually issues that we could have dealt with if we could have done effective parenting.
Mm. Okay.
And then true. I sat around our founding board of the Marriage Council, and they told me, no, Awanga, we cannot have another organization in Namibia Marriage Council.
Yeah.
We would rather advise you to go and establish an independent, effective parenting organization. This is how, by then, we were guided by the former governor of Kavango region, which is Kavango East now,
mm-hmm.
Reverend Ambassador Samuel Kaveto Mbambo.
Okay.
And who is our current now ambassador to Algeria, is the patron of the Marriage Council.
Mm-hmm.
I could really, like I'm seeing him now saying it, that no, you rather just start it on its own. It's an independent organization so that we focus on education. This is now what came about. Then I got along some parents, organized ourselves. We registered it with a close consultation with our Minister of Education, mm-hmm. Honorable Anang Ipondokwa,
mm-hmm.
in a delegation of the Deputy Minister, Honorable Kalei. And we sat around the table, and that's how the vision came to say, no, what you do, Paulus, take these ideas that you have just briefed us. Since you want it to be an independent parents organization, an association of parents, specifically in their children's education, go to the parents, go to talk to parents. And this is how we have reached out, especially in the founding region in Kavango East, where I come from. It has gone up to the circuits.
Wonderful.
The circuit, which are the branches and the regional executive. And we are looking forward now for the official launch of this organization. It is actually, we aim to make NAOPE a leading national, recognized organization of parents in education.
Mm.
Nowhere else. Education at home, education in the community, education in the school, private, public, institution of higher learning, universities, vocational training centers, wherever our children have formal or informal education, their parents, as you are listening, NAOPE is a vehicle that we want to organize ourselves, to unite as parents, to go out and contribute, not only by our presence, but by our active involvement.
Mm-hmm.
I remember our deputy minister then, Honorable Kalei, was asking us in that meeting that we have a school feeding program.
Honorable Kale?
Kale, yes.
Which Kale?
So it has been a while already.
No, you know? I just want you to say the full name. Schladwein?
Not Schladwein.
Okay.
Yes. So, and then she questioned us about the school feeding program. You know, I'm having a limited time, so I'm rushing.
No worry. We do have some time.
Yeah. She was asking us, yes, I think it's a brilliant idea with this organization, because mm-hmm. we are struggling even to roll out the school feeding program for the less privileged children who are really coming to school and not even knowing what to go and eat after school.
Mm-hmm.
There's no one who can commit to cook for them.
Mm.
And they, you know, said, no, we really need this organization. So what is the mission? What is the purpose of the mandate of NAOPE?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what we are trying to say is that NAOPE is a non-political, non-profit, non-denominational civil organization. Let me say it's an organization that strives to advocate for an equitable quality education for our children, not even within the border of Namibia. Even beyond, just imagine.
Mm-hmm.
So we are saying wherever our children will go and the access to education, we want to get involved. You know, we were also involved in the issue of our students who went and further their study in Cuba.
Okay.
Medicine students. Mm-hmm. And we were involved and we were happy to see how we worked even with the Ministry of Education, of Ministry of Health. And Minister of Education, NASFAF,
mm-hmm.
to see that coordination, and the parents were encouraging them, no, let us be hopeful. Our government is on it.
Mm-hmm.
The funding and they are returning home and everything went well. Even the lost packages, luggages when they came back, everything mm-hmm. was mm-hmm. properly coordinated because the parents had a voice through the National Organization of Parents in Education. We are to organize, to mobilize, to unite all parents to effectively participate in their children's education. And we are also to create platforms of capacity building to empower parents so that parents will be able to have the necessary knowledge, even to the point of skills. You know, we are talking about adult education.
Mm-hmm.
People are now asking, oh, what happened to adult education?
Exactly.
And this is actually the organization that is trying to take also to work together to partner with our Ministry of Education, Innovation, Youth, Sports and Arts and Culture, with our Ministry of Gender, to make sure that truly there is a part, there is a gap we have left behind, where we are expecting a lot from every parent, but we haven't done enough to capacitate parents to, in terms of, I mean, supporting.
So that they can be children. Supported.
Exactly.
Okay.
Even they are struggling even with homework.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah.
So parents also need to create these platforms where we can guide them, even acquire necessary skills
mm-hmm.
at their level.
Mm-hmm.
And they can gain this knowledge that they need to know, even to have a right attitude.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes, even when we started with this initiative, some of the teachers and the principals, we introduced, no, it can't be. Maybe these people, they want to come and confront us. And, you know, we are not for that. No, we are in for partnership to work together and make sure that we really work with our stakeholders, teachers, learners, to deliver nothing. But and you know what is driving us? We don't have an allocating budget. Maybe the listeners will come through and help us. We are motivated by simple passion, just the passion that we have to serve,
mm-hmm.
to contribute.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I take interest in my background being a former Kavango Students Association chairperson at Polytechnic.
Mm-hmm.
By then, you know, it's an SLC for information at Polytechnic, which is NAST now as an SLC president there. So this background, even when I was serving in Nanso,
mm-hmm.
you know, the former governor of Erongo region, Neville Andrew, was our president. You know, in Nanso, we learned a lot. When I came to realize, even with the marriage class, that no. Parents need to involve in their children's education.
That's
from
true.
Home,
mm-hmm.
basic education, tertiary, you know, Yes, at all levels.
At all levels.
That we can.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Awanga, I especially like that point, that part where, which you identify, supporting parents so that they can be, supportive towards their children. Mm-hmm. But it's not all parents who have the knowledge or the capacity to actually help with homework. Like, for instance, some of the things we have forgotten, even myself, I have forgotten some of the things that as much as I did well in mathematics, even up to university, the other time my grade 7 year old son came with some or the teacher actually notified us that she has given homework, and I knew definitely that I had forgotten how to even do this this particular part of math.
Formula.
Yes, you know, some of those things they've gone out because you have gone on to special to go into other areas and not necessarily dealing with math on its own. So it's quite important that parents also get the support, because I think as much as parents also want to be, that's only the one part now from the, what I'm talking about. As much as some of the parents want to play their part in supporting their learners or the students, they don't always know what to do.
Exactly.
And if you don't have data at that time, you'll not be able to search up how is this done.
Exactly.
So you speaking about that is quite very important that parents also get to play their part. But then we come back now to the discussion of literacy, because it comes in, because there was literacy which had really helped in those days. And I think maybe there's the notion or the understanding that a lot of people are educated now, so maybe literacy is not important. How does Naopi intend to bridge that gap to ensure that parents get the necessary support in order for them to be able to support their learners or children?
You know, this is really very, very relevant perspective that you are giving.
Okay.
You know, we really have to thank our Minister of Education because they did not lock us out in the process of crafting this vision.
Mm.
We were given, our current minister by then is an ED, Dr. Steenkamp. We were given an opportunity to sit around the table with our quality assurance directors and their team at the national headquarter here in Windhoek. And the Ministry of Education. And we're looking at all these issues, including what you have just said now.
Yeah.
And we were assured that the vision and everything that we have prepared,
mm-hmm.
it's in the right perspective. And they were also looking at the benchmarking with other countries.
Yeah.
Specifically with this question, which you have just asked, in terms of to make sure that parents are prepared and they have the capacity to, in terms of literacy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, literacy, it can be categorized at different level.
Okay.
You can be a PhD holder, but you might need literacy to an extent of some area of expertise that you are not exposed to.
True. That is so true. Okay.
I can be a graduate for a certain college.
Yes.
But I don't have competence in terms of using the computer. So which means I will need to be guided to have some basic knowledge about how to operate.
Mm. Another, let me add an example to that. You can be a PhD holder in perhaps commerce and accounting related field.
Yes.
But then in terms of life lessons and biology, you'll not be effective in helping your son or daughter who's perhaps doing biology on AS level.
Yes.
So I guess literacy is not just for those who don't have the
exactly.
Yeah.
You know, when you hear people speak about sometimes this literacy, at times we only look at the aspect of maybe reading and writing.
Phew, what a day. Finally on my way home. And hey, the taxi's empty. So much room. Oh no. Why is this big guy getting in and sitting on top of me? No, not the member with the big bag too. Now I'm squeezed.
Sometimes in life you just get squeezed. But luckily with Express Credit's term loans, you can get up to 32,000 Namibian dollars to help ease your financial squeeze in under 15 minutes.
Ah, now that's a relief.
Visit expresscredit.com.na. Express Credit, money when you need it.
Okay. Dear listeners, now we are back. Yes, Mr. Paulus, you were busy telling us in terms of literacy.
You see, when specifically with education,
mm-hmm.
our involvement as parents mm-hmm. in our children's education, we want to see, that's why I touch on the aspect where we said with the quality assurance officers from the Ministry of Education,
mm-hmm.
the EDIS office.
Mm-hmm.
These are some of the things that we're looking at.
Yeah.
And when it comes to literacy, we put it to them that, when I have a grade one learner, admitted into your a private or public school, I expect to have an orientation.
Mm-hmm.
I need to come in and be oriented. It might be the first time that I'm registering my firstborn in grade one.
Mm.
But your expectation is that Tatiawanga must be able to do certain things. But I'm not aware. You know, you are a professional teacher.
Yes.
What I expect,
you do this on a yearly basis.
Yes. I need to be oriented. You see, and this is what is lacking. Even at the university, look like now we have access to all this privilege that we have now on access to free
tertiary education. Yeah.
The subsidized one.
Mm.
Do you think many parents are even aware what's really happening?
Mm.
We
don't
are
quite
not.
Understand.
And we take it like, yes, parents should be there and they should do this and that. And that's why we said, no, we should have our own organization so that we can be able to be the voice of the parents. Like, even at all tertiary institutions now, they have received all our children in the first year. Some are even graduating.
Yeah.
But you know what? We'll only receive letters. That's why we come, even last time I attended a graduation at NUST, I was so disappointed, but everything went well.
Mm-hmm.
But I was so disappointed to be told that, no, you are not going to be allowed. Actually, my wife was graduating, and I did not take it lightly.
Yeah.
They said, you are not allowed to
accompany?
What?
English
is gone.
To hallucinate or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
We were not allowed, to go and welcome something strange. And I said, you people, why are you doing that? Why? I took it up to the chancellor now.
Okay.
You know,
the deputy vice chancellor.
Yeah, yes. And then I was told, no, it's a set standard, we benchmark from where, but it's just not coming with us.
Yeah.
I cannot come all the way from Kavango East and come here and sit like, and then I just have to, I cannot even, no. Mm-hmm. We are used when my son or my daughter graduate and come from the, you know,
from the podium,
I should go like, you know?
Yeah.
And then I can feel it.
The gutural.
Now I'm told, no. This is what we are saying.
Yeah.
When my son or my child is graduating at the university, I will need a bit of orientation. It's form of like a literacy program.
So
now that your son is at the University of Science, now your child is at the University of Namibia, now that your daughter is here,
yeah.
Dear parent, from this date and this date, we are meeting.
Ah.
Then they will orient us. And then they can
the do's and don'ts
and all those
things. Don't go overboard, someone like that.
Yes. And even, they can even give us some basic computer literacy to say, the parents, we are happy your children are here.
Oh, nice.
Now come,
yeah.
Let's give you, when you want to see your child's result, how your child is performing.
Mm.
You know, we parents, as much as we think, we are not there.
Mm.
And we are now saying, under the National Organization of Parents in Education,
mm-hmm.
we are just saying we want to be a voice. We want to organize ourselves
mm-hmm.
at all level of access to education, formal and informal.
Mm-hmm.
We want, even as a parent, as a guardians, we need to come on board to an extent of you to meet the expectation of our principals, the school boards,
mm-hmm.
school council.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the waste of time.
Mm-mm.
This is how we are going to ensure that we deliver quality. Look even at the tertiary institution level.
Yeah.
Our children registers
mm-hmm.
for this course. Second year, you think it's in the same course, you change to another course.
But you are not aware.
You are not aware. By the time you realize,
it's not going
to school. The others are graduating. It is a reactive now for you to, my son, yeah. The other child you went together, but now is graduated. I will not even know. You see, it's like our interest is more into the income and doing. No, no. It, we should really mean it.
Mm.
I always tell our seniors in the Ministry of Education, even our directors, I said, please, I think it's higher time that we really, as for Naope, we will call a spade a spade.
Mm.
Don't go and tell people in the media parental involvement when it's not what it is supposed to be.
Yeah.
Look, even when we look at our school boards, let's go to the school level.
Mm-hmm.
School boards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they rarely even get that school board training. Most school boards out there, school board members, even parents, even as we speak,
yeah,
they think school board is parents. Which is not.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's a governing structure.
Yeah.
At the school, entrusted with that governing function.
Mm-hmm.
The majority are parents. The Act 3/2020 of Education is guiding. The parent must be in charge of his chair and so on. But it's not a parent structure, that one. When we formed NAOPE, some of the educators said, no, we don't need such an organization because we already have school boards. Said, what do you mean? A school board is an inclusive governing structure of the school that comprises of the parents, the teachers, and the learners. The voice of the teachers and the learners and the parents, even including some expertise from the community, they can be part of the school board.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a parent's voice, that one. It's an inclusive voice. So now, when you look at the teachers who are in the school board, they've got their teachers' union, they've got the NANTU. When you look at the learners, they have got NANSO and mm-hmm. other association.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what about parents, even as we speak? Parents who are in the school board, let them tell me
mm-hmm.
which association, which organization represents them.
Mm.
That's why we said, no. From my background being a student leader,
yeah.
I realized, we need an organization that represents parents' voice, parental involvement.
Indeed.
I remember in 2014 when we had a regional conference of students, learners in mm-hmm. Kavango East. By then, that time it was Kavango region. I think it was just a splitting before, just there.
Okay.
We had the conference. I proposed it to the student leaders. It was then NANOPE. Then they said, okay, I think it's true. But then we couldn't implement it because we're students, we're learners. Now that I graduated, I came and I put it to the marriage council. Said, no, let's just make it an independent. Now, that's how NAOPE has come into place. So we there's a lot that I can share really about NAOPE.
Mm-hmm.
For one, can be involved in NAOPE. As I said, it's not affiliated to any political party.
Mm-hmm.
It's a non-partisan organization.
Mm-hmm.
Just like NANSO, NANTU, they are not political parties.
NANSO is a political party.
NANSO.
NANSO has some affiliation.
Yes, some sort of
yes.
affiliation.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, maybe to an extent. It's a working relation sometimes which can get into such
mm-hmm.
bonding, you know.
Yeah.
But we are saying with NAOPE, we are not affiliated to any political party.
Which is
although
should be right.
we have come to some politicians and some individuals who are really pushing this through our throats.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, very unfortunate.
Okay.
So what we want is truly to mean it as Education Act. When we go to school, is everyone's child need to have access to this classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to see even persons living with disability from the marginalized group, irrespective of their social status, just as per the constitution
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
of our beautiful republic.
Mm-hmm.
We need, as parents, organization, we want really to be that. So one can belong, if you want to be a member of this organization.
Now, see, considering where we are there, considering I think the considering
okay, sorry.
No worries. Considering now the fact that let me not say fact because I'm not, considering that there are hardly or any other organizations where parents can actually belong, right? So that their voices collectively can be heard. Because in many times, parents also have their consent, but you don't know where to direct them. For instance, as a parent, I myself as a parent, I've just heard about enough of your schools asking for $2 for everyone who's not wearing school uniform. Those who are going to wear school uniform,
yes.
they'll pay $10. Those who are wearing their own clothes, they'll pay $5. And I'm like, we are already paying taxi money to go to school every single day, and you are still buying bread and oros and chips and fruit as well. Yes. So if we can limit, so now you see monthly schools will come out with, no, we are going to have this day, children must wear casual, pay $5. If they are going to wear school uniform, pay $10. You know, I think we need to limit this. As much as, yes, it helps contribute towards the school, we need to limit some of these things. And another incident I want to address, which I haven't actually got to speak about here, was an incident that happened in South Africa, Mr. Wanga. In this story was the teacher who actually, there was sort of like some brations for the kids. Mm. And cool drinks, and so they needed to pay about $35 or $45, I'm not so sure, exact amount. And unfortunately, there was this child who did not pay, and the parent made a video of that. You see? So sometimes we need to discuss some of these things. It's not all parents who can afford. You know, you get children who are really coming from backgrounds where they don't have, I myself have heard my own, daughter who's in grade two tell me that, Mommy, my friend doesn't come with bread to school. And it was sometimes our part from mine and hers to make sure that she goes with at least 4 bread to school, sometimes 5 to incorporate that child. But then when you actually do some of these activities, you somehow diminish the little one, you know? So how do we as parents now collectively come together under such organization to address some of the things that we're not necessarily happy with? Maybe we're just unable to find certain people to speak up and be a voice for us.
You know, I think I should frankly put it that the more we look now,
yeah,
unorganized, and we cannot take this into education, into the school ground,
yeah,
we'll cause more confusion.
True.
To our children.
Mm-hmm.
And if we go to the act, if you go to section 4950 on the establishment of the school board,
mm-hmm.
you go under the functions of the school board chairperson,
mm-hmm.
who is a parent. You find a section there or a subsection mm-hmm. on his function that speak on the establishment of the school board committee. Have you heard about that?
Mm-hmm.
We are talking about the school board, and then the act is speaking about the school board committee.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the area where we also want to educate ourselves as parents.
Yeah.
Because all those issues that are happening in the school, the safety of our children at school, the quality of education.
Thank you.
Issues of absenteeism. Mm. A lot of things that are happening. Even some teachers who are not even serious. Some who are even on their mobile phone during
school hours.
School hours. You know, a lot of things are happening.
Yeah.
But you know, at the end of the day, I don't blame teachers.
Mm.
I bring it back to us parents.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The Education Act has given the school governance in the hands of the school board. The school board, the majority, which is portioned in according to the how many learners are in the school,
mm-hmm.
we are given the mandate under the school board to set up the governance of the school.
Mm-hmm.
The governance of the school under the school board is to operate. It is arms and legs in the school board committees. You'll find a committee on health, safety, and social issues.
Okay.
A committee on finance and fundraising. A committee on academic performance and award. These committees are actually guided by the regulation of the Education Act. You know what is happening where we have failed us as parents.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we did not fail. Maybe we did not. That's why Naope is here. We are not aware we are not supposed only to elect the school board only.
Mm-hmm.
We are supposed also to, after electing the school board,
mm-hmm.
we as parents whose children are schooling at the particular institution,
mm-hmm.
we are supposed to form part and parcel of the school board committees. In those school board committee, there is now a committee on health, safety, and the social welfare of our children.
Yeah.
Like the issue spoke about the food, the, all those, it's a social issues that, you know, support, we could get maybe some decent support from the well of families to help the less privileged. And these committees, I can challenge you now, even dear listeners, go around and go to a school and ask where this committee exists. Have been run by the school management committee. The school management, committee is not supposed to run the extramural activities. They were supposed to focus on the administrative and academic
activities. Lesson plans.
Yes. And then the extramural activities like safety of the children's school, the welfare of the children, you know, support in terms of voluntary contribution of parents, which we have now branded money. It's not supposed to be money only. The cleanliness of the school, the safety of the children, the environment to and from school. We parents whose children go to that school, we're supposed to be oriented. That's what we're talking about. To be oriented, and the school board supposed to establish these school committees, school board committees who are functioning at the school, and they report to the school board. In that school board committee, there should be also majority are parent. Then some HOD, maybe one HOD, and some teachers who are passionate, like a committee on sports, arts and culture. That's why you see there's no effective arts programs, especially in state schools, you know, in public schools. Even if you look at sports, you look at the children, they don't have sport attires. It's not because we cannot afford, because we are not organized. We are not involved effectively. I tell you, if you tell me your son is in this soccer team and they are going to play soccer and need soccer boots and they need this attire and so on, as a parent, I will proudly do it. But now look, even cultural festivals, they only choose maybe that 10 learners to go and be in the choir. They are the one who must learn singing. What about the rest? There's whole school at the assembly. They should be able to sing at their best voices. If arts is well taught. Now, but the teachers are not supposed to focus on those things. We parents, some of the expertise in the community, some of the teachers who are passionate about that area of arts or culture, you form that committee. And the chairperson of that committee is a parent. And this is where we, it's like an omission on the part of the ministry. The Ministry of Education should really look broader. I always tell some of the, our directors in the regions that, listen, you are not a director for the circuit inspectors. You are not a director for the teachers. Would you respect that I'm saying this? The director of education is just like the minister of education. It's for all of us.
For the parents.
Even I'm here, I can articulate, I can read the act, and I can speak on what the act says. No one should say, is he now an educator or what? He want to be a staff in the Ministry of Education or what? No. The Education Act is for all of us. For us citizens, we should use it. Parents, learners, and our educators. So when you are a minister, when you are a director, when you are an ED, I'm not in the, not in the sequence of structure, but I'm saying you are a regional director for everyone. Go on the ground and see what's happening. Workshop for principal, workshop for teachers, conference for, they have gone way, way. And the school boards, they are just school boards there. Look at the awards. Did you see the awards that we received this year? As wonderful as they organize it. Sometimes it looks like you are the own your own referee, linesman, and the goalkeeper, and the striker. When we do things, only teachers. Did you see parents there? Did you see any school board chairperson who went and received an award on behalf of the school?
No.
Who received them? Teachers.
Exactly.
You see that?
Yeah.
Now we go about talking about parental involvement. You involve them when you see it's pleasing to an extent. Sign here. Some of the school board don't even have an idea of how the money has been used in the school, which is against the act. Some chairperson, they don't even have an idea. Yeah. They are not even signatories to the school account. You are a school board chairperson. Don't you know you will be held accountable? Because the function of the school board chairperson, one of it is to oversee the establishment of these committees and how every cent
is being spent.
But because of this thing is what Naope, we are not to teach parents this thing to make them opposition to teachers. No. Just make for them to do the right thing as expected of them.
Rightly involved.
Yes.
I think you can only play your part to such an extent as you have the education of when you are aware how far you can go.
Yes.
That the act allows you to do this and to do that. I get that. Mr. Hunger, while we're still there, something comes to my mind that I would want to address. I'm not sure which year exactly, but it was the now Minister of Education, Innovation, Youth, Sports, Arts and Culture, Minister Sanet Tienkam, who spoke. And I remember that time it was through media that I came aware of it, where she spoke about the learners' hairstyles, for instance. And she said from henceforth, learners should be allowed to have their desired hairstyle or something of that nature. And of course, some were happy, some were not happy about it. But I personally was happy about it because in our northern regions, specifically speak about Oshana or Angwena or Musati, the old regions, there is a habit and a tendency for children, for young girls, hair to be cut off. In the name of, so that they can focus on their education. That comes a long way, and that practice is still being done as we speak. Most of, and if you want to see it even further, when awards were being given in early this year, for those who performed very well in AS grade 12 and, ordinary level, almost all the girls that were coming from that side, they looked like boys. Their hair was shaven off. I was personally very upset when my daughter was in kindergarten at a private school in the north. Then she moved to a government school because her siblings were going to that government school. They had to shave her hair off. When are we parents, I guess now, coming together to say we are against this act, or not the act, because the act allows us to, because the ministry pronounced itself how learners should be allowed to have their hairstyles, you know. Now my poor child's hair cannot grow anymore because it has to be shaven off because the school says so. And apparently sometimes you hear, no, it's not us, the teachers who say, it's not us who made the decision, it's a school board members which consists of parents who made that decision. Just because one parent thinks that their child will not focus in education if their hair is neatly done, doesn't mean I have the same feeling. Doesn't mean I share the same sentiments as they do. So when can we, if there is anything that I would want Naope to address also is one of those things. What's your take on that?
Yeah, you see, governance of any institution requires inclusivity.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Transparent. You know, and also in terms of equity also to make sure that we involve everyone who should be able to give. You know, that's why the unfortunate situation is that sometimes we lack to utilize the very important aspect of research. Sometimes the reason why people do even some random, any method of research that you can be able, methodology that you can apply, it will help you in terms of decision making. Some decisions are not rightly done.
No.
In an open space where you ask, who is interested? Who is not? You cannot. That's why sometimes you go for a ballot paper way of decision making. So it's just unfortunate that such things, with Naope now.
Yeah.
I can see, you can see already the opportunity.
I do.
For us to truly have a voice as parents. We are not saying cutting hair is bad or it is good. Perhaps we need to go to the facts. Why are we considering it that is the right thing to do? And why are we considering it's not? And then it's something that even when it was debated.
Yeah.
And I was already sitting with this vision. I said, how I wish I had a platform with parents already now.
Mm.
That can bring a right platform for us to give our view. But the Education Act gives a mandate to the school,
mm-hmm.
even to come up with their school governance form of like a constitution.
Mm.
So long that constitution of the school is completely aligned to the legal framework of the act, the constitution and the what? And the Education Act.
Yeah.
So, if there is any justification of why such practice to be done, then the parents of that school, for now, since Naope even been on board, because we have got work to do,
mm-hmm.
We can then bring, to say at the school level, they come together, they come up with a constitution, values, you know, the school, every school is given a mandate to come with a vision, mission, the values and so on.
Yeah.
I think there is where now some schools, if the person who is influencing the policy at that school is having that perspective of wanting to do things his or her way,
mm-hmm.
then it's going to affect us.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe being frank on that one, you mm-hmm. know, it's just the matter of coming together at that school and see how you can discuss it and make an inclusive decision whether to allow the learners, our daughters,
yeah.
to cut their hair or not. If they are to cut, to what an extent? If they are not to cut, how they... There are some schools,
mm-hmm.
like my school where I'm a school board.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a school board chairperson
mm-hmm.
in Rundu.
Mm-hmm.
We simply let the learners, our daughters,
mm-hmm.
to play to what you call pushback.
Which is fine.
Simple.
Why so must the children be bald? It's a girl child.
Child is yes. not limited to the environment of the school.
Yeah.
She will go to the family wedding.
Yes.
She will go to there are some extra activities that she's doing beyond the school. So that's why partnership of parents,
mm-hmm.
teachers and learners,
mm-hmm.
even as key stakeholders in education,
mm-hmm.
before we come to such crucial decision affecting everyone
mm-hmm.
or majority,
mm-hmm.
we need to come together as stakeholders.
Mm-hmm.
And then we interrogate and we make the right decision.
Mm-hmm. No, I would really myself, Mr. Paulus Wanga, want that addressed. Because right here in the capital city of Windhoek, we don't have such, can I put it as that, such traditions ruling being imposed on our learners,
mm.
but in the specifically in the 4-0 regions that is being imposed on them, that the girls should look like boys, have bald hair and their hair completely cut off. But yeah, I don't appreciate that.
Listened to the debate with this in regard to this.
Yeah.
And they were saying because of the economic support in terms of the maintenance of
those who cannot, those
hygiene,
yeah,
hygiene, and
but I think we are generalizing.
Yeah, they were reasoning in that area.
Yeah,
so I think I would really, to an extent, agree with you to say it shouldn't be one size
fits all.
It might really not be good because it's not a disability. So long we can manage it within. Yes, yeah, but now they are saying maybe they want to approach it like uniform. Everyone must look the same.
No.
But sometimes then...
Uniforms should have some limits. Anyway, let's pause right here and take a trip to the marketplace. We will be back shortly.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is...
E filoshisho o talikulandula kona avewa yuk. E kwa shilipale kolo maruendo paiwano kupitila mo NHP. O atupa teleko mesho kwa shilipale kola fika mafio $5 emiliona omlongo danamibia. Moshi joshe tukeshe kuyanja o makwafo unamiti enashane filoshisho lopa ulumo mumbu. Kwa avove liponje yo shilongo, shijoshi topo rwasho ijo yetu, tashiningwa inapawe banando ishoshe layash. Opo umone ya kulolo polis mwule o minute disho naelela, lishangifako nhp.com.na omanga ino ya moruendo. Ponjeo shilongo. E mangono malandula fano, o dodino kulandurwa. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
Freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
And we are back. Mr. Paula Suwanga, also another aspect I would want to address, or perhaps would want to see Naope address, and let's hear from you how Naope could actually come in this regard. I got informed early this year by a teacher, right? She is a teacher right in this region. She said, when we talk about certain languages, for instance, languages such as I don't know what we call them.
Our mother tongue languages.
Shuambo, Ochiherero, those languages. Within Windhoek, right? At the schools where they are offered, they don't go beyond commas down. That's a far. These languages are only offered at schools within Katutura area. They don't go beyond commas down. Commercial section. So when you go to schools, that, such as you go as far as now from commercial upwards to town schools, to you will not get a school there that is offering Oshiwambo, Ochiherero, Rukwangari, and that kind of stuff. So if I stay in Simbabasia and there's a new school nearby me there, I need to take my child as far as Katutura, because if I want them to pursue Oshiwambo, otherwise they should fit in the roots of Afrikaans, perhaps Germany and that kind of stuff. And those are the things that we're talking about when we look at such organization, that they should address such such norms, which shouldn't be a norm actually. What's your take on that?
Yeah, you see, when it comes to our mother medium of instruction teaching,
yes,
where you need to, they need to give a language, you know. I took note that it has been also on the social media, even on the press media, discussing about the advocacy of wanting to see, you know, these languages, our mother languages, being also expanded in some of the areas and so on. And what one will look at, you know, we have our legal framework, which is the Education Act number 3 of 2020.
Yeah.
It's also giving guidelines. If you go into its regulations, it's giving guidelines on how to accommodate our mother languages in the schools.
Yeah.
But because, and then the guideline has been to see that how many, it's like quotas, or how many learners in a particular school who are opting to take that mother language, is where the challenge is, because it's clearly saying at least there should be a number of learners so that they can put per capita of a teacher. Because one teacher should at least have got a ratio of maybe 35 learners in the class.
Okay.
Now, if there's no such a number of learners who will be able to attend that class of that language, it becomes
a challenge,
a limitation.
Okay.
Yes, I think this is exactly what is. Unless it will not be fair when in that school there's a number of Rukwangali or Shivambo Herero speaking learners who could do that mother tongue subject, and it's not been offered. Especially grade, you see, when you go for grade 1, you find that the English class maybe the Ojero class, you know, that mother, they will look how many are they. In most cases, you will find that most of the parents will even prefer their children sometime to go to the English class.
Yeah.
Because they want their children to master English first. Why? Because the medium of instruction officially is English. You see. So what it will require is this. That's why we even need parental involvement. Because I can volunteer. Even if they are five, even if they are 10 learners in that grade five or four, I might say, listen, give me the curriculum. I will help these learners to teach them. Then once the class has come, I go and offer it. And then the parents of those children can give me an offer of whatever they can. You see, parental involvement,
the
effective one, is going to resolve a lot of problems,
mm-hmm.
a lot of hindrances.
Mm-hmm.
Truly, we mean for equitable quality education,
mm-hmm.
which will be accessible for all our people,
mm-hmm.
not only our children, mm-hmm. even to parent education. Now, our parents knows how to read and write, but they cannot articulate in English. But when you go on computer, when you go to ATM, they need official language. Now they need to get the literacy to the level of speaking English, reading English. And this is what we need to do. If we are to, and this is the right thing, it should actually be mandatory. Why? Because an educated nation to really assure to be a prosperous one. Because knowledge is what?
Power.
Is power. Which knowledge? That will inform the need, the skills, you know, the expertise that we need. Go into all some of the counties that you can find where they've mastered the content of teaching and learning in their mother languages. They excel. It's not the matter of how many, how the population of the country. No, it's not quantity, it's quality.
I hear you.
What we can do, the Oshivambo speaking, the Kwangali speaking, the Damara speaking, we should be able to organize the parents. Even look into the curriculum of their language and see what's in there. To what an extent is it limited to?
Yeah.
Even including our cultures, it could be embedded in this content, and our children then will be able to learn even our cultural songs, even our cultural attires, even our traditional food, even the way we make sikuku, the way we make, you know, erwapa, you know, the one you put down and the elder sit on, especially madam. Why is the madam?
That was home you ecology know, that we were taught, which ecology. Has been done away with.
That's and home ecology. You bring it back now to our lives, to our culture.
Because not all of them are theory intellectual, or should I put it like?
Yes.
Some of them are practical.
For me, really, I would support us parents to organize ourselves and really not to organize in a sense of opposing anybody, but to contribute so that we can work
together.
To work together.
Thank you. Now let's get asking you, what now role is your advice to parents at this particular point in time as exams soon will start? And of course, we have to play a part with the little knowledge and the scarcity of information that we perhaps have now as parents. Now speak to parents in terms of what role we need to put on, what jacket we need to wear now in helping our children to thrive in their exams and in their academics.
You know, first of all, we just have to their parents, we just have to acknowledge that we didn't design ourselves to be parents, to be guardians, to be mentors.
Yeah.
Because when we are referring to parents, we are referring to everyone who is in the guardianship of a young one who's accessing education. Maybe be it at every level. But now, as we are talking about, our children are now preparing to enter and they are now set for examination season. So what we need to do now as parents, maybe it's not to master that geography and mathematics and the history and the biology that our children are studying. But there is a bigger part of it that we need to play that most of us as parents sometimes are really not paying attention to. You know, a child will not study. The child will not master the content if the child essential needs are not catered for. Essential needs in terms of food. Essential needs in terms of the image, the look, the hygiene of the child. Is the child having enough sleep? It's unfortunate in some houses. Some of us, we know ourselves. We are not in church, but our children are. They switch off that TV the time that they want. They go out of our house and go and play, come back the time that they want. And sometimes we are not even mindful sometimes of what kind of association, friends, that our children are having.
And I think, let me come in the, Mr. Wanga. And I think parents also need that support. We see a society that is majorly homes are being led by women, right? And if we can be practical and honest, a mother raising boys, and now boys are 15-year-old, they are 17-year-olds, there is really little that she can do. And for instance, she wants to reach out to within her community, maybe the pastor, maybe the uncle, but nowadays everyone for themselves. So you get now a mother who, for her own peace of mind, will allow, not necessarily allow, but she's limited. The boy is coming in at seven, at the eight, at the, coming in or home at late, maybe at even 10 o'clock. And he's only 17 years old. For peace and for whatever, she decides to keep quiet. And I think we need to address that also. And I think that's where also NAOPE would come in terms of helping single-led homes by women who needs the support.
You know, the thing where we are going to start from, even when we are going to have our capacity building empowerment in terms of training of parents, is to, when we lose identity, it costs us a lot.
Indeed.
You know, we are called a family, even by God's design. No one just falls from anywhere. And this is where we're supposed to start. To educate ourselves and accept that the way, the design of God's family, we have the level of the structure of the family tree.
Father, mother.
We shouldn't live in isolation for whatever it takes. No matter what level of education you have, the wealth you have, the higher society where you find yourself, or the lower society where you find yourself. Reach out and make sure your children, you yourself, demonstrate it to your children that you have a father and a mother. You have grandparents, both from your mother and your father's side. That support, every individual needs it.
Absolutely.
We are Africans, and we know how our culture works. It should start from there. You find now a parent who is parenting his or her children, and this child is clueless about the grandfather, grandmother, on the father and the mother side. They don't know, even know the uncles.
But
that could be the start point. Why? Because, you know, the fruit does not fall away from the fruit tree.
True. I hear you. But if I can interject, you have parents who have detached from their family members because of some, maybe trauma and hurt. Maybe they watched, for instance, being practical example, could be, this young woman growing up in the village, was on a regular basis raped by her cousin. Let's speak facts now. And her mother and her father and her uncles watched. Back in the days, such things were not reported. It's family affairs. And then she grows up and she has trauma. She might want to cut them off entirely. So you now obviously cannot expect this person to send even their children to those people. Because with the fear of that, this might be done to my kids. So I think maybe it will also need to look into.
There are those isolated cases.
Yeah.
And they need to be handled on merit that it deserves.
Yeah.
And just like we're saying, we'll not want to really generalize, but there are specific cases. Such ones, like those ones, need special attention.
Indeed.
That's why we will love to see with NAOPE, with the Parents Association in Education, the structure that we want to put up as a support system. If parents buy into it and we sell it to the education, is to see to it that when it's come to the education, we should put a system where we have social workers. Social workers at second level, if it's not at the school level.
Yeah.
And we also have medical practitioners, even two nurses, and the second to attend all the schools in the area, or even designated school. You know why?
And that's so employment that, creation for our young
exactly.
people.
Exactly. You may, you see already the benefit of it.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we saying this? We need to create a support system as a government, as a community, which will be able to support people who are vulnerable like that. So, but all in all, then what's going to happen is that the social worker who is trained in education and is designated to attend to cases of learners, students. That's why when you go at the tertiary institution, you will find what? You will find a dean of student. And the dean of student has got specialized staff. Has specialized staff who attend to cases affecting students at the university. The same also, it should also be in our schools. When you find this child going to school, the teacher will observe. The life skills teachers, they are there. They will spot and see that, no, something somehow is not right. And then it will alert the HOD.
Okay.
And that's how it will go until you will see that the social worker will be designated to go and attend to this child. And then we'll discover that one.
Okay.
So I think that's basically how we can approach it. But we shouldn't really live in isolation. There are many offices, doors are open out there that we can approach.
Okay. Mr. Paulus Manuawanga, thank you so much. It's been a wonderful discussion. And I think there's still much more that needs to be discussed in terms of parental involvement in children's education. And as we have been engaging, I realize it's quite extended because it's we have learners,
broad.
We have students.
It's very broad.
It's very broad. But we appreciate this organization. And of course, we just wish the very best in what it does in terms of education and our learners.
Yes. Maybe just in conclusion.
Yeah.
Are we concluding now?
Yes, please.
Yes, please. Spiritually, emotionally, physically, in every aspect,
yes.
We should be there for our children during exam.
Okay.
So that we make sure where we cannot, let us seek for support and assistance. It is there. And those who want to reach out to the National Organization of Parents in Education, this is my number, 081-87-00341. Or 081-87-00341.
Okay.
If you go on Facebook, type Naope, and then you'll be able to inbox us.
Okay.
And we are very happy to be here.
Okay. Thank you so much, Mr. Paulus.
Lipurane ngeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo dito ingida ashike kapeno nwepo dite opoewe ekukulile oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshiwana onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijabweli nawa ninge Pata fanona, Monica ko Eagle FM, onora etatimwe bali heali, nola natu, heali bali no heali. Ileko mderewa, nora etatu natu, bali o etatu batatu, o mafelane, Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know, a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the R.
Welcome back. And now, of course, let's go for news of you onto the borders of Namibia after this much needed discussion. Now, we're starting off in South Africa regarding Home Affairs unveiling immigration white paper. Let's take a listen to understand what that is all about.
Welcome Cabinet's approval of the revised white paper on citizenship, immigration and refugee protection. When you read the paper, you see that there are some efforts that are looking at clamping down on fraud and abuse of the system, as well as also addressing some issues of national security. So with this approval, what happens next? Njabulo Ndzuza is the Deputy Minister of Home Affairs and joins us live now to give us a sense of what is the next step. Deputy Minister, thank you so much for your time. Good evening to you. What happens now with this approval by Cabinet?
Good evening and good evening to all the viewers at home. And well, subsequent to the Cabinet approval, we'll now take the white paper and prepare the bill. The bill will then eventually be sent through to Parliament so that it can effectively be turned into law. At the core of the white paper is that it becomes a legislative overhaul. The intention is to streamline our legislation so that it is more effective. So what we are doing is that we are bringing in the Citizenship Act, Immigration Act, as well as our Refugee Act into one legislation, which will now be the Citizenship, Immigration, as well as Refugee Protection. So this is meant to really enable us to better control in the fight and against the abuse of our legislative environment by illegal immigrants who will want to come into the country. So you have to fix the legislative environment that will also lay the basis for how you operate in terms of operations in the future. So it is quite revolutionary and a very good set of a white paper for purposes of fighting illegal immigration and promoting regular movement of people.
So I'm going to get to some of the digital IDs and registration shifts in just a moment, but on the refugee protection policy reforms, I see that there's an effort to combat what the paper has described as the phenomenon of applicants of picking and choosing, I'm quoting from it there, South Africa, as their preferred destination while passing through other safe destinations on their way here. We know what is being said in the public domain about this, but from a department's point of view, what can you share about this particular abuse?
Well, the white paper allows us to internalize the first safe country principle. By first safe country principle, it means that when you are seeking asylum or you have run away from your country because you are facing persecution, you should be able to gain safety from the first country that you arrive in. Not for you to pass five countries that are safe for you and then say, well, South Africa is your destination. Now, what this has done in the past is that it has allowed people who are coming in as economic migrants, not really for because they are being persecuted in their countries, but because of the economic situation in their countries, to then decide that they want to come into South Africa. And obviously, if they follow through the first safe country principle, it means they will have to be accommodated in the first country in which they are safe. So one of the other things that we'll be doing is the reallocation of the refugee reception centers to ports of entry, so that a person who comes into the country will have been a process person will have received the proper status. So all of those are meant really to make sure that we clamp down on the abuse of the asylum seeker regime, which currently in terms of the law, we cannot deny some of the people entry. So this gives us greater power to control who comes into the country, are they really, really seeking asylum, or they're coming for other reasons?
And we've seen the issue of naturalization also come up in the past, and with some saying that that particular system in and itself is open for abuse. So how far do you go here when you talk about merit-based naturalization?
Well, we have been having a problem whereby the number of years in some instances, not in all the instances, will then be used for a person to say, well, I've stayed so many number of years, therefore I qualify for this and so on. It is sort of a progression kind of a system instead of it being merit-based. Now, when we are dealing with the issues of citizenship, we are looking at the merits of each and every applicant. What we are also doing is that we are setting up institutions that will be advising on who qualifies for citizenship and who does not. Basically, it's not going to be a blanket approach that because you've stayed so many years, therefore you now qualify for you to be declared a citizen. It has to be a merit-based system that looks in each and every person's case. One of the things that the white paper proposes is around introducing a window period in which applications should be taken. Currently, you have an unending kind of a system where each and every day you will receive applications and they will mount and mount, whereas if you open up throughout a certain window for a certain number of months, it allows you to have control in terms of who do you give citizenship, are they contributing positively to the country.
And there is, of course, when you look at issues around the system and the databases, etc., that it also seeks to address, but you do have others who are watching this particular process and they say that why did it take government so long to get to this particular point to deal with this issue?
Well, it has taken for some time, because you will remember when the first laws were enacted, some of them in as back as 1994, South Africa did not have much experience in terms of how the global environment operates. We were a country that was somehow locked into itself. But now, over the past years, we have gained experience. We have seen over 30 years that these are issues that are posing a danger and a threat to the country, and as such, we are dealing with them. The first white paper was actually dealt with was approved by cabinet in 2024. This is now the second round of the white paper. There were then Operation Vulindlela recommendations that dealt with the issue of us moving in.
In international news, Donald Trump imposes U.S. blockade on Strait of Hormuz after talks with Iran.
The U.S. military has said it'll begin blockading all maritime traffic entering and leaving Iranian ports tomorrow. President Trump had earlier pledged to block the Strait of Hormuz. His comments came after talks between senior U.S. and Iranian diplomats in Pakistan broke down without agreement. Here's our World News correspondent, Joe Inwood.
As J.D. Vance landed back on American soil, he was returning from a marathon, historic negotiation, but one that had not delivered a deal.
We've made very clear what our red lines are, what things we're willing to accommodate them on, and what things we're not willing to accommodate them on. And we've made that as clear as we possibly could, and they have chosen not to accept our terms.
After the talks, Iran said they'd not expected an agreement in a single session, but implied that one may be possible. The question now, what would President Trump do next? We did not have to wait long for an answer. Writing on social media, he said he would begin the process of blockading any and all ships trying to enter or leave the Strait of Hormuz. He also claimed that other countries will be involved with this blockade. In the last half hour, the US military said it will begin tomorrow. It's a response to Iran effectively blockading the strait to the vast majority of ships. That's had a huge impact on the global economy, one that grows by the day. Ending this was a key objective of the talks in Pakistan. With that unsuccessful, this appears to be the president's new tactic.
It seems to be probably at least part of a negotiating strategy to ratchet up tension on Iran and also to hit them economically in terms of less revenues for Iran. Obviously, that's key for him. And as well as potentially put pressure on Iran's partners, such as China.
But speaking on US TV a few hours later, President Trump made clear it was not the only escalation available.
The only thing left, really, is their water, which would be very devastating to hit. I would hate to do it. But it's their water, their desalinization plants, their electric generating plants, which are very easy to hit. We could hit them. We could have them all down.
In Tehran, after nearly 40 days of constant airstrikes. To have pictures of negotiations on the front pages will come as some relief, even if they were not the headlines these people wanted.
I was really hoping they would make an agreement and reach a conclusion. It's been almost 45 days now, and I can see the stress in people. This is not what our country deserves.
I would have preferred that there was no war and peace and tranquility instead. But I think there's no other way than war and confrontation.
For now, while neither side seems willing to back down, neither seems to be rushing for a return to war. Joe Inwood, BBC News.
And Lise Doucette is in.
And with that, we have come to the conclusion after this episode of On the Radar News Analysis. Please do stay tuned for the Onkonana Dengi program brought to you by Noise Shimi. From Indafa, happy as usual, it is goodbye. I'll see you again tomorrow. Same time, same place.